Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/behindtheracketpod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now.
The long hair that we call Noah Rubin has joined me on the phone to do a little podcast. Your hair is, as this is, I've known you for like 5 years. Is that when you won Charlottesville? Was it 15?
14.
No, that's not right.
That's not right. I lied about that. It's 15.
Okay. This is the longest I've ever seen your hair, and I'm a little frightened.
I mean, I can say it. It's a Drew Fro. It is what it is.
Okay.
This is, you know, it's the plain honest truth here. I do get, I am one step away from curls, which is fantastic. Wow. Which now, that's just for the Patreons. Maybe I do just let this go and they get the picture, but they can't show other people. We're going to have confidential written on it, the whole deal.
Yeah. How's that going to work? You think everybody's going to, you're going to hold to that?
Noah's Jufro.
Can you at least like do it for me? Maybe.
No, you've outdone yourself. We know that. Look at what's on top of your head.
I know. It looks so good.
Oh my God.
I mean, I just need to put some gel in it and it'll just look all pretty.
God, it's yes.
Yeah. So I have a podcast that we recorded in Orlando that I have been slowly working my way through.
Yeah.
It's not, we had a drink or two, both of us did, and we recorded about an hour and a half worth of material.
We were, after everything we spoke through, we were completely sober midway through, and it was just emotions.
Yes, we were. let me just explain to everybody at home. So there is one that is coming. We're actually going to make it available only to our Patreon supporters. So to our Patreon supporters, there is a bonus podcast coming to you by the end of this week. Really kind of getting into the emotions of what Noah's been going through and what I've been going through. And, we talk a lot about, I've been listening and editing, and we talk a lot about what is failure and what's not. We actually got pretty deep.
We did. We got super deep. There was a lot of cursing on your end. There was a lot of emotion on both ends. And
yes,
it was an overload. And I think honestly, there's a lot of, if you weed out some of the outside stuff, there's a lot of good stuff in there that I think can pertain to people across all life. And I think it was a lot for us to go into that at that point and to do it on air or on a microphone. And I'm just hoping people respond appropriately to it because it's my heart and soul.
So that will be coming up later this week. And we do have a new Patreon supporter. I forgot to text you and let you know. You're so busy. I always feel like I'm intruding into your life.
Of course you do. That's why you text me 12 times a day still.
I mean,
instead of 20.
You text me first. but Roman, thank you very much for your support on Patreon. We also got a a donation from a very close friend of ours. I don't know if he wants to be thanked publicly. To that person, I didn't know you were listening. I let Noah know, and we're going to get something out to you, but thank you very much to you. You know who you are. You love Outback and your black coffee in the morning. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it, and I will reach out to you personally as well, and I know Noah will as well. So that's, yeah, so patreon.com/behindtheracketpod. If you would like to join the group that has been incredibly kind and working on supporting our podcasts, I have all of the autographed balls that you've signed for me.
Yes.
And I just got all the packaging out to send those. I'm probably going to wait till after Christmas so it's not, everything doesn't get lost in the Christmas. I don't know if you've heard of this holiday called Christmas. Those of you that are not Jew-fros, we actually have this other holiday called Christmas that people celebrate about the same time as
holiday. Okay, that's fine. A little anti-Semitic, but keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be getting those out to all of our Patreon supporters right after the
Christmas New Year's holidays.
Gift. Yeah, something like that. So let's get down to the brass tacks.
I have yet to do my taxes yet, so that's a different story.
You actually can't until the year end.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works. Yeah. I know you've been cheating at your taxes for years, but
that's good. I'll get a call soon.
You are the player of the two of us here. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot. And so tell us what you have been informed about Australia to this point.
I wake up with my group texts. Oh, my God. Sometimes 120, 250 messages that I go through. And to be honest, I'm pretty much skimming them at this point because it's a lot of question marks, and that's what we've just been a part of, is this understanding of we are still not getting updated as quickly as we want to be updated. You know, one person out of 300 people is updated. They send it to one group, then I have to send it to the next group, and then it just kind of gets around. And then by the time it gets around to everybody, there's a new piece of information that's already out there in the Twitter sphere. So it's been difficult. Right now, where we're at is there will be no Australian Open qualies in Australia. That seems to be what is at hand right now. Australian Open main draw seems to be the first or second week of February right now, and that can change by the day, of course, but that's what we're looking at. So originally it was going to be, in a few days from now, to be honest, it was supposed to be chartering flights from different hotspots around the world. I think Dubai was one of them. LA was one mm-hmm. of them. We were supposed to leave on the 10th or 11th, get there latest by the 14th, quarantine for 2 weeks, have a tournament, play qualifying, play Aussie Open. we then found out that Australian citizens couldn't even get back to Australia. That for the month of December, Australian citizens were in a lottery, actually, for just to get home. So that was, within a week, that was taken out, and that was said, okay, we can't get into the country before January 1st. That turned into January 8th. We were also figuring out that, unlike the U.S. Open, they were not given approval to compete during quarantine. That seemed to be one of the major, major things they were trying to get around.
Right.
It seems like they are going to be able to practice. I think the number right now is 5 hours allotted to leaving the hotel each and every day, but no competition, no standing around, no being there too long, no, small spaces, stuff like that. That's what I've seen. So January 1st turned to January 8th with a 2 week quarantine. You're looking at last week of January, and I think they pushed it back another week on top of that, and that's where we're getting this first week of February day right now for main draw Australian Open. For qualifying, it's still up in the air. There's talks about giving compensation like they did at the US Open for qualifying players.
With no tournament, you mean?
With no tournament, yes. The other option would be in one of those hotspots that we talked about, chartering flights. The one that makes sense right now, based on what's happening in California, is Dubai. That seems to be, one of the places that they are considering to hold an event early in January that gives enough time for people to quarantine and then go to Australian Open in February. It's tough. I mean, you know, this, while this is all taking place, and this is like the one thing that I said to the group, you know, after a while, the one thing I said was, I totally understand this is the first tournament. We have to get through this. But while this is happening, you and I, you send me stuff, I send you, I find stuff from John Wertheim and left and right. Things are happening every day. There are tournaments every day being canceled. I mean, I saw New York Open. Obviously, they're discussing Indian Wells right now. It's demoralizing. Like, we're getting into this point again where we're discussing this one tournament, Australian Open, which was U.S. Open, you know, a few months prior to where we're at right now. But then it's like, what does the rest of the schedule look like? Are there challengers? Yeah. Are there tournaments? You know, we're looking that, you know, Del Rey is trying to move. You know, they haven't canceled. They're looking to try to move that tournament. Indian Wells are trying to move. And this seems like it could just be a total free-for-all when it comes to events and just trying to find any spot that's open in the calendar. It worries me. I think it's demoralizing for the players. I think even players I thought that would take, you know, because I'm the cynic, obviously, but players I thought would take the tournament in Dubai are saying, like, am I really going to go to Dubai for one event, you know, travel, quarantine, do all of that, and then come home, have to quarantine when I come back home, everything that goes into that, or would I just rather take the cash? You know, people are starting to think this way because they don't know what the future holds. Do they want to break out of their routine for one event where they can lose first round, go to Dubai for one match? I mean, you know, some people is an easier travel, but you know, for American, South America, I mean, these are long travel days, you know, for one, two, you know, three matches would be great. I mean, I think anybody would take that right now. Again, the word is a little bit demoralizing. And this is stuff I went back in kind of our podcast of what we spoke about early March, you know, when this was first coming. We're obviously not brain surgeons or nowhere near. So when I say this, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that we knew we were going to be in a position like this. You know, tournaments, you know, on the Challenger. Yeah, please.
Let me interrupt there because you did just talk for 4.5 minutes straight. But anyways, sorry. I do love
Happy
you.
Happy holidays.
But I actually think this is a little bit different to me, though, Noah, because like the Australian Open, what they did is they came up with a plan months ago.
Right.
They said, this is what our plan is going to be. And they got approval from the government.
Right.
And so everybody was on the same page months in advance, which is exactly what you and I had talked about is so crucial so that you guys can have all this time. And at the same time, then the Australian government comes back and says, you know what, we can't do it right now. Mm-hmm. And like you said, completely understandable reasoning. I totally get it. But yeah, that there's no... So the AO is trying to push back, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand why. Get the understanding why. It's such a crucial event for everybody in the tennis sphere. But because of the fact that they're trying to move back, now you, like you said, all of these other events are now having to reorganize and do their own things. This is where the, you know, the lack of cohesion within, in terms of just from the top, you know, I don't fault anybody with Tennis Australia. I don't fault the Australian government. Mm-mm. I have no problem with anything how that's just happened. Totally fine. At the same time, we need some sort of a, you know, somebody up at the top of the ATP and the WTA saying, okay, let's work and see if we can't, you know, place these events as opposed to the events having to do it for themselves.
I completely agree. I think it comes down, yeah, I mean, you know, the joining hands in an effort to take on this pandemic, you know, within our small world that is tennis is a must. I mean, if you're going to have from a top bottom understanding that, okay, they're going to move, they're important, well, we have to do this, and then challengers have to be here. You know, what I was referring to in the brain surgeon topic was just the idea that tournaments don't have cash to put on, you know, this pandemic was away right now, tournaments do not have the money to put on events. I agree with your point 100% saying that, you know, if we're going to start figuring out how to combat this pandemic and reschedule certain events, like there has to be a Google Doc for this. Like there has to be something like that where, you know, in Orange, Tennis Australia types in, okay, guys, this is what we're working on. And then Wimbledon's like, oh, that's a tough thing because we're right there. And like, you know, we laugh, but like, this is what it has to be. Like, you know, I want Craig Tiley to be, you know, tight. And again, what the effort they're trying to put in to make this happen is extraordinary. And this has nothing to do with the situation. It's just, this is what we're left with now. And once we start, you know, having this free-for-all where Indian Wells is in God knows when, October or whatever the case may be, you know, we're going to see the lower-ranked players, of course, you know, taking a toll. You're going to see anybody outside the top 150, probably 100 in the world, saying, like, wait, what are the tournaments? Because now there's only 8 tournaments on the schedule. That means everybody that's playing them is going to be top 100 in the world. What am I playing now? These are the things that are starting to come our way, and it's worrisome. I mean, this is, again, there's really nothing to say to it. We're years behind because we didn't utilize this time correctly, in my opinion. I think we forced a lot of things. And then to your point, a long time ago, you know, listening, how did we not create something that was geographically based of some sort? Mm-hmm. You know, I listened again to what you were saying and talking about, and I told a decent amount of people, and they said, well, certain areas would be more stacked than others. And I'm like, you can't worry about that right now. You're worrying about the rankings being a little skewed because the European tournaments may be a little bit tougher. And then I was just like, be happy that everybody's going to make money. We have events around the world, and you're going to know that you have 10, 15 events happening. Like right now, it's like, can this happen? And they're like, nope. And we're like, okay, there goes another event. So it's that, yeah, it's very disappointing to see the lack of trust that we put in each other's hands, really.
Yeah, you mentioned Indian Wells, and I just kind of want to just touch on that real quick, because it was John Wertheim who did report that they are looking at canceling, and his tweet said it was imminent, although has not yet happened as we're recording this late in the afternoon on a Monday. But, I mean, that's here's the question for the player, and you may be different than others. Peter Polansky asked this on Twitter, and I actually thought it was a really good question, even though Peter Polansky is Peter Polansky. How long does it take players to prepare for a Grand Slam?
When it's the first one of the year during a very unprecedented time like this, it takes a month. It really does. It takes a month and a half, you know, to get really into it. I think, you know, It's tricky to say right now, but for normal people, you know that once your last tournament is over, you have November, you're already planning that the last week of November, you're probably hitting lightly, and then you have all of December to really start fighting your body, getting in shape, and then you have January for the Australian Open. You know, if somebody's saying, you know, hey, you have now a week, these are when the conversations for 2 out of 3 sets come up. These are where the conversations... where, you know, do we space them out? Because if you're asking with the pressures of a Grand Slam, with the physical and mental toll that it takes on you, you have to prepare. You know, this is not a 1 week thing. And if it is, this is where you see injuries come. This is where you see, you know, that late in the fourth, like just kind of pulling out. It's a scary situation. But then again, if we have the ability to have a Grand Slam, are we going to say, well, we need time to prepare? Like, you know, it's a pandemic, you know, we're going to take
it. No, of course not. Yeah. I'm just more thinking about the idea of, you know, what in terms of the level, you know, because I know seeing some of the play at the US Open, I felt the players who had a couple matches under their belt, those were the ones who maybe looked just a little bit tougher, more in game shape, and that level was just that little bit higher than somebody who was coming off of 6 or 7 months off. And I think that's the concern I have, is I know Tennis Australia is still planning on having 1 week of events right before the Australian Open actually begins. I do think about it from the qualifying aspect that's probably not going to be the case for pretty much anybody. So I'm a little bit concerned that like that first round is going to be just
honestly,
terrible tennis.
I think the first two rounds is going to be, and especially the first set of these rounds. I mean, between the pressures, you know, you're also saying that, you know, with the limited chances tennis players have, you're cutting that, you know, in half and half and half and half and half. I mean, this is what we're at right now. So I think it's not conducive to great tennis, and that's not what we're shooting for right now. We're trying to get as many tournaments on the schedule.
Right.
And again, we're looking in, you know, when you're talking about Indian Wells, it's crazy to me. I mean, it's at times it feels like 10 years ago, and other times it feels like yesterday, where I was eating Korean barbecue. I picked my head up. Hyung Chung is there, and we were both like, is Indian Wells canceled? Is this actually happening?
Right.
And now here we are, almost in a few months away from March, and they're already talking about it. And we're in nearly the same, if not a worse spot than we were in.
it's so crazy to me because these last few months, especially with going to the Open and having those two challengers in Cary and Orlando, it's made me think and realize how much of my life is based around like tournaments. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then I'm like, oh, it's this time of the year because I'm going to these tournaments. So it's green clay, so it's spring. You know, I'm in Savannah. And so then I come home and I plant my gardens. And it's Christmas? Jeez, what? Like, you know what I mean? It's
you
like,
almost don't even know how to live your life accordingly.
Right.
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 Right. And yeah, I mean, I normally go by tournaments, and tomorrow is just tomorrow. There's no date on it. Right. It's just tomorrow. So, you know, when I have
how nothing. Are you preparing for your tennis side? Like, how are you actually doing it? Because I've seen some players saying that it's off season and they're like getting into it hardcore. Where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, mentally right now, I've changed the tune, and it's, you know, I've gone back and forth with the past few months, and now I'm just it's how do I become the best person I can be? And with that being said, that's the highest level tennis player I could be as well. That's with no tournaments in my head. That's with, I mean, you have to put tournaments in your head just solely because if one's coming up in a week, you have to tame it down. But in my head right now, there's nothing for at least a month. You know, I can go pretty hard on my body. I can, you know, feel good. So for me, it's not preparing for an Australian Open. You know, obviously I'm right in the cusp of getting in or getting out as well. That makes it tougher for me. But for me,
I think you'll get in because of the fact, I to your point that you made earlier, I don't think there are going to be too many predominantly clay court players who are going to potentially go to Dubai for one round.
And I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be interesting. Again, right now, it's just me playing tennis, getting my body in the best shape possible. Again, it's difficult. You know, when we were preparing for tournaments and you had that letdown, I had a few days, even at a week of a lack of motivation. You know, it was like, what am I doing this for? I just prepared 2.5 weeks for a tournament and I got nothing, you know? So it's now centering the focus towards something else.
We're about at the end of our podcast. I want to again point out later this week, we will have for our Patreon supporters, the podcast that Noah and I recorded a little bit on the sauce, which got really emotional.
It got emotional.
but you can support us, patreon.com/behindtheracketpod. I had to think about that.
Yeah, it's all good.
I got a cat.
I know. I'm happy for you.
Yes, her name is Audrey. She has her own little perch here near the studio, I guess. She's not a cuddler. So she just likes to be near me at all times.
But she's super sweet and really cute too.
Yeah, but it's kind of like me with women, really. Nobody wants to actually cuddle with me, but if they're in the same vicinity, it's fine.
It's not just women.
Okay. All human beings. Yeah. I want to say also, I've had a lot of friends and family who have now been impacted by COVID here over the last couple of weeks. I know you have as well, especially for you over the summer, I guess spring. And I think we're all at this point where it's exhausting and we're all tired. And man, be healthy, be smart. Like, I'm having to have those talks with my family about Christmas, and I'm terrified by what I saw on social media. So many people getting together over the last couple of weeks. And when I think about all these tournaments, when I think about how it relates to tennis, and I think about the fact that how are tournaments here in the U.S. supposed to run when we are having 3,000 people die every day and expecting to get worse, I find myself thinking, how are we supposed to have Delray in February or January or wherever they might be moving to? How are we supposed to have challengers realistically when there are this many people dying right now? And man, like, health is most important for everybody. But shit, man, like, I just want to, shit. Like,
yeah, no, it's going to be,
just
it's,
be
yeah.
smart so we can do some, so we can actually do some things.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough holiday season for a lot of people. Thanksgiving was, you know, a little bit, it was great, but it was also disappointing. And I think, I mean, just be smart. And, you know, it's, I wish you a happy holidays, Mr. Cation.
I mean, we're going to do a, we're, it's not like we're going to stop doing.
But I don't want to speak to you.
You don't want to, yeah. You know, nobody wants to.
It's okay. To the Cache. Because you call yourself the Cache.
Actually, I've never called myself, the only person who calls me Cache is Bjorn Fratangelo.
That's horrendous on all accounts. Thanks for listening, guys.
Happy wedding to Mitch and Jeannie.
Yes.
And Jack Sock.
Yes. Too.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Okay, bye.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.